Danke.
We spent these 2 days together. Ish, say, Eyo Yomar Chazak. I would like, as this end discussion, to try to explain a particular point which I think is very important for us. Be'ezer Hashem, one of the points which I'm going to discuss in this session, Be'ezer Hashem, I'm going to analyze something which we, especially in our generation, we find very, very famous, the Inyan of Chassidus. Chassidus, Pashat, Chassidus Shid. I don't know what right I have to define Chassidus. I happen to be Chassidus Einikel. I myself am a Litvak. But for sure, Chassidus is not a patent dafke for Chassidim. Chassidus is a concept of Yiddishkeit. And the Mesiras Hashem defines Chassidus in a very deep way. And I'd like to define it in my simple understanding and how we can apply ourselves to this concept. I would like to start defining the concept of chesed. What does it mean, chesed? What does it mean, chesed? We all do chesed. Olam chesed yibone. Now, I think it's important for us to define what is chesed, and let me tell you why. Because the whole concept of chesed, again, is not a Jewish patented concept. The pasuk says, "Olam chesed yibone." Today, especially in today's modern world, chesed is very advanced. Any place in the world you go to, I would say, almost any civilized place in this earth, any person who would go, and Rahman al-Islam would faint, would get an attack, middle of the street. He could be in the furthest corners of the earth. It won't take 5 minutes, an ambulance will come and pick him up, take him to a hospital, they'll wire to his family. The world is full of chesed. Wherever you go, it's full of chesed. It's true that the real concept of the whole atmosphere of chesed was created by Avraham Avinu, who was Avamayim Goyim, but the world is full of chesed. Now, we also know that the pasuk says chesed le'umim chatos. And this is something which should worry us. Chesed le'umim chatos. The chesed of the non-Jews, of the nations, is not the real concept of chesed. So we should be worried that when we do chesed, is our chesed Yehudi or chesed le'umim? So I think it's important for us to define what is Jewish chesed and what is chesed le'umim. Because maybe our chesed is chesed le'umim. Now really Chazal defined what is chesed Yehudi, chesed le'umim. And Chazal said that chesed le'umim is when a guy does chesed, he really means himself. He wants to be a nice guy, etc., etc. But I would like to try to define, in my own understanding, what is the concept of chesed which is miyuchad to Am Yisrael. Now, I'd like to start off by saying, I'm going to describe chesed now, and really this is not my issue. But it's an important issue, and I'd like to talk about it for a few moments, and then come to my issue. I once heard, now, before then, really, if we were want to look and find what specializes Jewish chesed, so for sure, the place to find it is in the Torah. The Torah, we find two portions of the Torah, which deliberately describe chesed. Very at length describe chesed. One is the famous parsha of Avraham Avinu, and one is the famous parsha of Rivka Imenu. Avraham Avinu, his achnasas sarachim, how he received the three guests. And Rivka Imenu with Eliezer, how he asked for water and he gave for the animals, for the camels. Now, for sure, this, we have to find in this parsha the specialty of chesed in the concept of the Jewish people. And for sure, so much Divrei Torah was discussed on these two wonderful parshas. But the first thing that is extremely obvious when we learn these two parshas is that both of these stories are a description of chesed with a lavish exaggeration. Really an exaggerated chesed. Something abnormal in its exaggeration. Avraham Avinu was literally the greatest emperor in his time. Chazal tell us all the kings gathered together and made Avraham Avinu Nisi Elokim, the emperor of the world. Avraham was the greatest emperor of his time. He was a rich man. He was a powerful man. He was a respectable man. And he had nothing to do but to sit outside and wait for a guest. Finally, three low, dirty, low-esteemed Arabs show up, and we know Chazal tell us that he told them to wash their feet because they used to make idol worship out of the dust of their feet. So imagine their intelligence even to idol worshiping. You know, they used to worship idols, the sun, the moon, the stars. This was their concept, their greatness is to bow down to the dust of their feet. And he sees three lowest people that you have in the world, and he greets them, he falls on his face, he calls them my master, and he invites them to his house, prepares for them a lavish feast, which was more beautiful and more lavish than Shlomo HaMelech, who was the greatest king in history in his time. That's what Chazal said. Now, these three Arabs, you have to be mechabed, you know, because Zechnos HaSarachim. So what he does, he actually shechted three animals. I don't know how much an animal costs today, but let's say today how much an animal costs. Today an animal costs $10,000, a nice behemoth. And he had, because he had to give each one a tongue. Did you ever see a tongue, a full tongue in a butcher shop? It's this big. Now, I don't think these Arabs ate a whole tongue. But obviously it's respectable to bring in a big platter, you understand, a big roasted tongue, and to put that in front of them. And if they'll have to shear it, then they'll be insulted. So he shlechted three animals. I don't know what he did with the rest, because there were no guests, and he didn't have a freezer. In other words, this meal cost, let's say, $30,000. You with me? The Torah is telling this. And the most lavish feast that's ever possible for the simplest, lowest esteemed people on earth. This is a guzma. This is a real exaggeration. I would imagine if Yitzchak Avinu would come to Avraham Avinu as a guest, so he would shecht him an animal. But you have to shecht three behemoths for each dirty, low esteemed Arab. This guy never saw such a thing in his life. What does he eat at home? He's my guest. Chazal tells us, as I said before, Yofa Sudas Avraham Avinu Misudas Shloim B'Shaitai. And not for Avraham Avinu himself, for the Arabs. The same is true of Rivka Imenu. Tara tells us a story. A little girl, she was a great woman for sure. But Chazal tells us for a reason she was a little girl, a little dry-year-old pimpernickel, goes out in the street to bring some water at home, and she looks up, and sees this, you know, Avraham Avinu is a rich man. And if he sends 10 slaves, so you can imagine that they were big bulvanim, you understand? And each one of them has a camel, and a camel has a tank in his back. And she looks up and she hears from above someone says, little girl, would you give me to drink? And she says, of course, my master. And he says, please, you said to stand aside. And Chazal, the Pasuk says, Ho'ish mishtoyelo. It's a Pasuk. The man was, he was just astounded. She ran back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and gave all the men to drink and all the camels to drink. And here they're standing around, healthy people. They're not in the hospital. No, don't touch. Please don't touch. It's my mitzvah. And she's, for all the camels, 10 tanks of water, and for all these people, and she finishes, as Sephardis says, she finishes, turned around, I said, I'm going, you know, went home. Doesn't there ever thank you? Doesn't there anything? There's nothing. I don't know, train our children to like that? You understand, our little children, our little medelach, across the street there are Arabs working, you know, in the building, schlepping stones. You know, you tell them to go home and to stay aside, to drink some water, and I'll schlep you the stones. It's just astounding. What I want to bring out is that for some reason, the Torah describes these two acts of chesed. There is a special point that these acts of chesed was an exaggeration of chesed. Now here I'm coming to my point. My point is that really, that is the real translation of the word chesed. If we will translate the word chesed in a simple translation, chesed means shame. The pasuk says chesed, it's a shame. Chesed means it's a shame, and to do chesed means to shower our friends or someone who needs with so much good until he turns white like a sheet from receiving so much chesed. You're not supposed to shame him, but that's what the word chesed. Chesed in the literal translation means to give with an abundance. That's what chesed is. And I want to tell you, I heard this from Adam Godel, and he told me, what are the differences between Jewish chesed and Goyish chesed? We live especially in America, really America is a country of chesed. There's a lot of chesed. The Baruch Be'er, who was a Goyin and a Tzaddik, once said, there was never a war besides the Civil War, which is between America itself, but all the wars that America had, and he didn't see till the end of them, but there was a Spanish-American War, and a First World War, and a Second World War, and there was a Vietnam War, all the wars, a Korean War, there was never a gun fired on American soil. All the American wars were outside of the country, and the Baruch Zves said, the Zchus of the Tzedokah. Tzedokah Tassel Mimonis. And we live in a country of a lot of chesed. But my name is Rabbi Sai, there's a big difference between the chesed that we find between the goyim and the chesed that the Jewish people do. And let me tell you one of the differences. And if you know stories, opposite stories, so let's not argue about it, because this is not really my point. You would go to university, you go into a hospital, and you'll see a big sign, let's say, you know, a hospital for dogs and cats, and they receive a donation for $2 million. You'll find it every day in America. You'll find donations of $500,000 for a university, or $100,000. People will give a lot of money, and a lot of effort to do great things. But by Goyish standards, if you're walking in Manhattan, and you're walking down the block, and there's never a poor guy who's selling shoelaces, and you'll say, sir, how much does it cost shoelaces? You see that he's hard up, and I'll say it costs a quarter, you'll give him a dollar. And it's nice. It's really nice of you. It's nice of you to give him a dollar. It's chesed. I'm not saying we should do it if he's a goy, but let's talk about a stomach goy. He'll walk down the street, he'll give him a buck. And if he's in really bad need, he'll give him 10 bucks. But you won't find someone should give $100,000 to an individual. That's crazy. $100,000 you give to an organization. $1 million you give to a university. You give to a hospital. You don't give $200,000 to just one individual. Everything has to be measured. An individual person gets 10 bucks, 25 bucks, $100. But you're not going to give a person $100,000. It's crazy. In the Jewish world, you know and I know tens and hundreds and thousands of cases that people had to marry off children, and people had to fly from in Israel, sick children to America, and they gathered for them hundreds of thousands of dollars for individuals. For one person, that's called chesed. Chesed means to shower even one individual with a lot. Avraham Avinu did chesed. Chesed means that when you give with an exaggeration, that is chesed. Now, let me continue and really try to come to the point that I'm trying to bring out. We know that chesed is a famous word in the Jewish language. What is the obvious, the opposite word of chesed? So you would say the opposite word of chesed is stinginess. Chesed means to give, and the opposite word is to be stingy. My dear friends, this is wrong. Chesed means to give, and the opposite word of chesed in Hebrew is din. Din means to measure. To measure. As I described before, chesed means if one individual needs a lot, you'll spill on him everything he needs, or maybe even more than he needs. The opposite of chesed is din. And din means that you measure everyone and everything you do to what he deserves. For instance, Avraham Avinu saw these three Arabs, these three low esteem people. He spilled on them everything. I like to do chesed. I introduce myself to you. My name is Pinchas. I'm Rabbi Tauber invited me to speak at this wonderful gathering. 2 weeks ago, I happened to do chesed with an Arab. I was going in Jerusalem, and there was an Arab carrying with a big wagon, and he was going down the steps, and he was stuck. He couldn't move here. He couldn't move there. And I very graciously walked over, and I picked up the wagon from the bottom, and I helped him down, and he says, Tadaraba. He says, thank you very much. I did chesed. But what happened was, I measured, you understand? This is an Arab, and he is important enough that I should pick my hand and be matriach myself to help him down the steps. So now, when people come to my house, I measure them. I say, look, if you're an Arab, so you might get a glass of water, you might even get a piece of bread, you have to be human. If you're a Jew, I invite you for supper. I'll make you a fried egg, and cut you up a tomato, and a cucumber, I'll make you a malted. If you're a Rosh Hashiva, I'll take out a chicken from the freezer, put it into the white microwave. If you're the Godel Hador, you're going to get a steak. Everything is measured. That's called din. Din, I measure who you are, what you deserve, etc., etc. That is called din. Avraham Avinu, when he saw these Arabs, he didn't measure them. He spilled on them everything he had. And I could be sure, Rabbi Isai, if it wouldn't be these Arabs coming, if it would be Eliyahu HaNavi coming to Avraham Avinu's house, he wouldn't have anything to add to this feast. Because everything he had, he just spilled on these Arabs. This is the real concept of chesed. Chesed means to spill with an abundance and abundance and abundance. That is called chesed. The opposite of chesed is din. Now, my discussion this afternoon is not so much about chesed. I would like to continue. Let me relate to you a pasuk and a medrash. The pasuk says as follows. Va'avraham zokin. Avraham was old. Boba Yami, he was coming with his days. How old was he? He was an old man. He was 130. How old was he at that time? Chazal tells us, I think you all know, that Avraham Avinu was the first person that looked old. Until Avraham Avinu's time, there was no such thing in the world as looking old. Everyone looked the same. And Avraham Avinu complained to Hashem, and I said, Hashem, Avraham said, Hashem, you know, Yitzhak is my son, we look alike. Chazal tells us Avraham looked alike. If someone's looking to talk to Avraham, he talks to Yitzchak. Someone wants to talk to Yitzchak, he talks to Avraham. Please, Hashem, I should have what is called, I should look old. And Hashem says, you said something very wonderful. The first one who will look old is you. Avraham zaken, and Avraham was old. Now, we might think that looking old is something practically useful. But here the Medrash says, on this pasuk, Yof yofis mibnei odom hutzak chein al sifsei secho. You are the beautiful of all people. You have chen, you have beauty on your lips. Who does this refer to? Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had a crown of beauty. He looked old. He had a crown of white hair on him. So Chazal said Avraham Avinu didn't only want to be useful, he should look old. He wanted to be beautiful, wanted to look old. In our modern generation, we don't know what this is all about. Could you imagine someone compliment, oh, how beautiful you look. You look so old. Do you know how many hundreds of millions of dollars are spent in this country to look young? And Avraham Avinu wanted to look old. And the Medrash says, oh, Avraham Avinu, your feast with Bnei Adam, the most beautiful of humanity. Why? He looked old. What's so beautiful about being old? What's so beautiful about being old? Now, in modern generation, I remember when I was a little boy, it used to bother me. In Yiddish, they say there was the Alte von Kelim. You ever heard this expression? The old man from Kelim, the Alte von Kelim, the Alte von Slabodka. It bothered me. What did this Nebuch, this Tzaddik do to get such an insult? In English, the old man is the worst insult. Obviously, once, the word old man was not an insult. And it's interesting, in Hebrew, they really changed it. In Hebrew, they don't call him Hazaken Mikelem, they call him Hasaba Mikelem, the grandfather from Kelem. Because you're not going to, you know, modern generation, you don't call him old. Old is not a compliment. Obviously, there were days by the Jewish people that old was a compliment. Now, Moreover Abaisai, I want to try to explain to you why in previous generations, I wasn't there, but I want to try to explain why previous generations old was a compliment. And today, old is an insult. Today, we don't want to be old. We want to be young. We want to look young. To be old is not a compliment. So I want to tell you what I think is a pshat. I think I once mentioned previously in one of the seminars. And I want to tell you that I don't think this is the real true pshat. And then I'm going to tell you what I think is the true pshat. The simple pshat is like this. Every person's life is filled with three points. There is a past, there's a present, and there's a future. In our modern life, every one of us today, Nebuch, you know, what madrigas do we have? When I look at my past, of course, like myself, I look at my past. They say that Moshe Feinstein said he learned Shas 300 times. I look at myself, my past. What is your past? What did you accomplish in life? What did you build in life? This is garnished. The present, today, today's moment, what could you accomplish in one moment? It's nothing. What is great and beautiful? The future. Oh, that wonderful future. I have dreams that I will become rich and I will become smart and I will become a tzaddik. All I have to do is just say, just come to the shul and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, and all of a sudden I start dreaming about the future. Just dream about the future. The future is all beautiful. In the future, we'll become rich, we'll become tzaddik, we'll become chassid. Everything will be in the future. The past is the reality, is garnished vert. The future is rosy. So, if you're old, so you have a long past and a small future, so you're worthless. You're an old man. You're worthless. Because future, how long are you going to live? You have one foot in the grave. Your past is garnished with garnished. So therefore, to say old is the biggest insult. Generations before us was the exact opposite. The future is bubblemices. You don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. You cannot build on the future. The past, you have what to show. You learned a lot of Torah. You made a lot of mysterious nefesh. So when you're old, so you're worth something because you have a big past and a small future. Then you're worth something. So in previous generations, it was kashuv, it was beautiful to be old. Because you had a big mit'an, you have big valises full of greatness. The future is not ours. It's not ours, the future. So if you have a white beard, then you're a kashuv a mensch. Why? A great past and a small future. If you're a young pimpanako, then you look down on. What did you accomplish in your life? Almost nothing. The future, you know what will be tomorrow. You're just garnished. So, you're nothing. So, this would be a nice explanation why things changed. Maybe I should explain this a little better. The pasuk says, Avraham Avinu lived, v'yichi Avraham, me'ya shana, shivim shana, v'cham me'shanim. Avraham lived 175 years. I heard years back, and we all know Chai Yisur, the same thing. Shnei Chai Yisur, this is what Sarah lived. I once heard years back, someone said as follows, in the name of the Biruchan Mashgiach from Mir. He said, what does it mean lived? What does it mean lived? When you're munching on a pizza, nothing wrong with eating a pizza at this moment. Or you're munching on a falafel, could you say that's what you call live? Live means moments of accomplishment, moments of greatness, moments of closeness to Hashem. So this great tzaddik once said, he said, if a person lives 80 years and he can gather from his life, from the moments he lives here a moment and here a moment and here 5 minutes and here 10 minutes. If you can gather from all your life a month that you really lived, if you can gather, put together minutes and minutes, a month of real life, that's greatness. That's real greatness. Well, some of us live a month, some of us live a week out of 80 years. Avraham Avinu, the Torah gave witness, he lived 175 years of pure life. There wasn't a moment that he didn't live it. There wasn't a moment that cannot be defined as real life. That's what the Torah says. Avram lived 175 years. So when Avram was 100 years old, he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want a bitch. Don't I deserve that I have in my past, bo bayomim, I'm carrying myself 100 years of greatness of Avram Avinu? So he wanted a beard of glory. He wanted a white beard. And as I said before, we today, if you're 80 years old, a beard of what? What did you accomplish with your white hairs? What did you accomplish with your beautiful life? So you have dreams, but if you're old, even the dreams are going kaput. So therefore, today old doesn't mean anything. Now this, my Rabbi Yisai, would be a simple explanation, but I want to tell you, Rabbi Yisai, this is not the truth. And I want to tell you what I think is the truth, and something very deep, and please bear with me. I want to tell you what I think the truth is. The truth, in my opinion, is the past, anybody's past, Avraham Avinu's past, is not what is beautiful, not what is great. You can have the past of the greatest person, but it passed. Of course, every moment that we take with us, we'll have it for Olam Haba. But this is not the issue. The future, for sure, we don't have the future in our hands. Do you know what is worth something? There is one thing that has value, and that is the present. The present is present. Present is, if I could daven, if I could say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemoy, if I could say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, this moment is greatness. This is something which is worth, because that's what I possess. We don't possess the past, we don't possess the future. What we possess is the present. Now, how much is the present worth? How much is the present, this moment, worth? The present is as precious as the past. And let me explain this very, very simply. Let us describe a moment, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu gets up one morning, and he has a birthday. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? How old are you today, Rabbi Avraham? I'm today my 175th birthday. And let's say he knows that tonight, that this afternoon, he's passing on. He's going to Gan Eden. So you say, Avraham, what did you do 175 years? So Avraham will say, he won't say, but I'll say for him, this Avraham has in himself his valises with 175 years of greatness of Avraham Avinu. He didn't waste a moment in his life. Every moment was greatness. And here, Baba Yomim, he's coming with his days. Where is he going? Avraham, where are you going with your days? You have 175 years of life that you acquired, that you gathered. Where are you going? What's the answer? Olam Haba, taking it to eternity. You with me? No, that's not the truth. You know where he's going? I'm going to Daven Shacharis. Going to Daven Shacharis? Yes. Today, I'm going to Daven Shacharis. And in this Shacharis,
This is not a shachas of a 100-year-old man. This is not a shachas of a 50-year-old man. This is not a shachas of a 20-year-old man. This is a shachas that has appreciation and a greatness of 175 years. So we'll say, you mean to say that you lived this 175 years to have one shachas? Absolutely. You mean to say you're going to put in 175 years in greatness in one shachas? That's what I mean to say. And that's what Zokin means. Zokin means, today I am old, and I want people to know that I'm old, to appreciate what is the moment of today. Now, if you people don't understand what I'm saying, I will repeat it over and over again until you get the message. Let's talk about a Rosh Yeshiva. Imagine we're looking for a Rosh Yeshiva, our yeshiva. You see, we have a yeshiva here with as it's Noshim, as it's Gevorim. You have a yeshiva. We're looking for a Rosh Yeshiva. I suggest the Rosh Yeshiva here should come. I know someone who's pretty good, and he's 18 years old. He's 18 years old. You suggest we should take him as a Rosh Yeshiva? No. Why? How old should he be? He should be 40 years old. What do you have to have 40-year-old history? What do you care what he did in the last 40 years? No, my dear, that's not the point. I don't care about history. When he gets up and says a shiur, I wanted that this shiur should be a quality of 40 years of greatness. It's not a problem of a past. It's a problem of a present. That this moment should have the capacity of 40 years of greatness. It's a problem of a present moment. An old man is not a great man if he's great. Because he has a past, that's wrong. You know why he's great? Because he has a present. Because today, when he davens, today when he learns Torah, he invests in everything he does 100 years of greatness, so his present, his this moment is of worth. And that is the cheshivas of Zikna. Now, so I will say to you, Avraham Avinu, are you serious? Was it worth it for one Shemoneh Esrei to put 175 years of greatness? That's called chesed. I see the audience doesn't know what I'm talking about, and I'm going to come to my point. I'm going to come exactly to my point, and you'll understand what I'm saying now. Look, we're talking about chesed, we're talking about din. Let me bring you a perfect example of din. One of us goes to the refrigerator, takes out a glass of soda, and says, Baruch Hashem, Akei Melech HaMashiach, Kol Nei B'Dvorei. Right? Baruch Hashem, Akei Melech HaMashiach, Kol Nei B'Dvorei. Right? So I walk over to him and say, my dear friend, why such a fierce bracha? Why such a fierce short bracha? Shouldn't you say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Akei Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Nei B'Dvorei? Why such a fierce bracha? So let me tell you the true answer, what goes on in our mind. The answer is as follows. My dear sir, I'm answering whoever will approach me. My dear sir, listen. I'm not a moron, and I have seichel, and I know mathematics. I'm religious, and I know that there's a mitzvah in the Torah every day to say 100 brachas, right? 100 brachas a day. 100 brachas a day. Which means every year, if you multiply 100 times 350, right? 355 really, 360, let's make it 350. So it's 35,000 brachas a year. Am I right? Anybody with me, mathematics? Yeah. I make 35,000 brachas a year. I want Hashem should help me to live 100 years. So I'm going to make in my life 3.5 million brachas. This bracha is 1 out of 3.5 million. What's so important about this bracha that I should make such a big issue and say, Baruch Atah Hashem? It's a little bracha, 1 out of 350. That's called din. I measure him. What are you worth? What are you? What's Mr. Vert? A kleine brochero. Eine von drei in a half million broches. So I give him what he's worth. And if I say brochat Hashem, he should say thank you that I said that much. In other words, when I measure the present, when I measure this broche, I say, what are you worth? I come to the morning and I daven shachas. I told you the story. Last week, I daven in the shtiblach in Mei Yeshorim. I saw Yeshiva Bacher walk in. Yeshiva Bacher walks into Shachris, and they were holding by Baruch Shamar. Excuse me for saying, he walked out. You know, saying he has no time to stuff in the beginning. He had no time to stuff in the beginning. He looked for a minion, but they're up to almost up to Yishtabach. You understand? So So I'll say, why can't you give the Shacharis, why can't you give the Shacharis a little respect and daven Shacharis from the beginning to the end? Do you know what the answer is? The same answer. He says, look, I have a computer in my mind. I'm not stupid. I daven Shacharis 350 times a year. And I want to daven Shacharis 100 years, Bezer Hashem. I'm going to have 35,000 Shacharisim. This Shacharis is one out of 35,000. Why should I make such a hullabaloo about a simple Shacharis? But Baruch Hashem, I have plenty of Shacharisim. If I want to have a good today, I'll have a good tomorrow, I'll have a good tomorrow, I'll have a good next week, I have plenty of Shacharisim. I'll push the Shacharis. That is called din. Din means you measure. Was biste? Was biste vert? What are you? What are you worth? That's called din. Do you know what the opposite of din is? Chesed. Avraham Avinu, when he saw that Arab, he didn't measure. Who are you? How much blood did you murder? Should I make you a steak? Should I make you a roast chicken? Should I make you a fried egg? Should I cut you up a cucumber? Let me know who you are. That's who din is. Avraham didn't work like that. He spilled on this mitzvah of Achnasas Erechim everything he possessed. That's called chesed. And if you say to Avraham Avinu on his 175th birthday, you say, Avraham, what are you going to do today? I'm going to make a bracha. What are you going to put into this bracha? Into this bracha, I'm going to put in 175 years. And I'm going to look up to Hashem and I say, Hashem, thank you for keeping me 175 years of growth and of greatness. So I should be able to finally know what to put into one bracha. So you say, Avraham, is one bracha so precious to put it so much in one bracha? So he says, my name is Chesed. And that's what Chesed means. That's the real translation of Chesed. And this is how Jewish people understand Chesed. And I want to tell you, Rabbi Isai, in my opinion, this is the simplest translation of Chosid. And even the Chosid we see today, a Chesed Shayid, a Baal Shem Tov Chosid, what does Chosid mean? That's what Chosid means. Chosid means he works with Chesed. When he faces a mitzvah, he doesn't measure. He puts all his guns, all his cannons into one moment. That's what chesed means. If you find a poor man, do chesed. What does chesed mean? You got a mitzvah, chever, all out. That's what chesed means. You're davening a shacharis, all out. That's what chesed means. That's the simple translation of chesed. The opposite of chesed is din. And din is everything is measured. And when we start measuring, that's our biggest problem, that we measure everything. We measure. So imagine all kinds of concepts of chesed. You remember yesterday I told you a story? It's an illustration, beautiful illustration. Someone comes to my house, he wants a shmuzich duch with me. For 5 minutes, chesed. 10 minutes, chesed. 15 minutes, nudnik! Nudnik! Because I measured, he's worth 10 minutes. He's Jewish. He's nice. He deserves 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Woo! Leave me alone. Why is it so hard for us to do chesed without families? I'm saying something very deep. Why can I do chesed with the neighbor across the street? Why can I do chesed with my own wife or my own husband? Should I tell you why? It's very simple. Because when I do chesed to the neighbor across the street, I could measure it. How often do I meet him? I meet him once in shul, on Shabbos. All week I daven 7 o'clock minyan. He davens 9 o'clock minyan. I meet him on Shabbos, I get more again. So what does this guy deserve? This guy deserves a smile a week. And I give him a smile a week. Take it, enjoy it. But if I'm going to smile at him when I come at home, does my wife deserve, you understand? So it'll mean 100,000 smiles. Sorry, she doesn't deserve that. That's just too much for her. Let me measure. Sorry, don't overdo it. It's enough that every Yom Kippur and every Rosh Hashanah, we say hello to each other. Every day and every morning, thank you. Din, I measure. This is the opposite of Jewish concept. Judaism is chesed. And Yiddish, and the material of Yiddish is to become a chosid. A chosid means whatever you do, put all the guns into it. You came home this morning. It's a simple Monday morning. It's a simple Monday morning in the middle of Tavis. You come home, you're from shul, put everything, just a simple morning. That's what chesed means. Put on your best smile, as if, let me prove it to you. Did you ever see Birchas, did you ever bench Birchas HaMazon? Who are Birchas HaMazon? What's so special about Birchas HaMazon? Do you remember the Birchas HaMazon by Surah Mafsekes of Yom Kippur? Oh, that was special. You remember that Birchas HaMazon? That was special. But today's not Erev Yom Kippur. We measure every day. Erev Yom Kippur, Surah Mafsekes, this Birchas HaMazon is going to open up the skies, and it's going to bring us parnasa for the whole year. That was a Birchas HaMazon. I'm a chazan, I almost missed Kol Nidre. It's a luck that they had to wait for me. Baruch Hazon Es Ha'olam Kuloi B'tuvoi B'chein B'chesed U'Verachamim. What's so special? Are you kidding? It's Erev Yom Kippur. It's Erev Yom Kippur. You remember that Achilles Matzah, the Hamaitzi? You remember that Hamaitzi? Sitting on the side with a piece of Matzah, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Hamaitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. That was special. Special? He gets a special consideration. But a very regular plane, Hamaitzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Every single day, three times a day, Lechem Min Ha'aretz. So we make a cheshbon. There's no blackboard here. 3 times 350 times 100, 3.5 million times. Go on, Israel. And that's why our life is destruction. It's chaos. Just because of that. Because everything we measure. We measure every moment, we measure every shachus, we measure every mincha, we measure every ma'ariv, we measure every thank you, we measure every smile, we measure every vitor. I could have patience. I could say you're right. I could be mevater. But if I say it today, I gotta say it tomorrow. If I say it tomorrow, I gotta say it every day. No, sorry, if you don't deserve that much.
old. You know why I want to be old? That people should see how precious one moment of life is. That here I'm going to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, with a white beard. And I'm going to say, look everybody, and don't demonstrate. Do you know why I lived 80 years? To reach this beautiful one day. What I lived in the past, what happened, happened. Who cares? That's Hashem is packed away, not by Hashem's. Bo Bayomim, where is he coming to? To his end of days. And that is what chesed means, and that is what chosed means. I want to tell you a story, my dear friends. I want to tell you a little story. I think I once mentioned this story in the seminar. I want to tell you the story over again. This story was one of my beautiful experiences. This goes back around when I was young. How many is it? 90 years ago? Well, I'm not that old. We're talking about zikna, about being old today. So I can't pretend. But this goes back 40 years. This goes back 40 years. I was a little boy. I was a young boy, 13 years old. I was sitting in Williamsburg, and downstairs is upstairs is the Biyana Shul. Downstairs in those times is Miriam Minyan. I know on Marcy Avenue. And I remember this is just about 40 years ago. I remember I was learning Masechtas Gittin, and unrevealed in front of my eyes such a beautiful story. It's nothing special, but I just want to tell you the story. A young man, I know who it is, if I don't want to mention the name because you'll know who it is. It's a young man who lives today in New York, right after his chasna. Well, today he's not so young anymore. this is 40 years ago. But kids, right after his chasna, he was our neighbor, and it's after his chasna, and he was not continuing koil. He was a working man, but he was a younger man, a fine younger man. I remember I was sitting and learning Masechtas Gittin. I was sitting and learning, and he walks in the day after the Sheva Brachas. The day after the Sheva Brachas, they call in Hebrew Avrech Meshi. Avrech Meshi, a young man of silk. You know, his tie was still shining, and his shirt was still shining. And he walked into the Beis Medrash in the evening, and he took out a Gemara Brachas, and he sat down to learn Brachas Daf Beis. And I, as a young fellow, I appreciated. This young man decided he's going to learn Shas. You know what it means to learn Shas? Over here, these people over here, this side of the Mechitza, learn Shas is greatness. Learn Shas is, it's over 2,000 with the Black Gemara. And a Godel is someone who learns Shas. A Godel learns Shas. I know rabbis who stand up in front of audiences and say drushes that didn't learn Shas. Hashem will help me, I'll get through Shas. Hashem will help me. And here this man decided, I'm going to learn Shas. My boy said, I'm telling you, I was a little boy, I was singing with him. This is beauty, this is greatness. And he learned with such a cheshik. How did Misha start? He learned the first Black Gemara. Mamash, my heart melted. It was beautiful to see. The young man started learning Brachas Daf Beis and he's going to learn Shas. The next day, he came back again and he was learning Brachas Daf Gimel. But for some reason, the niggun was a it wasn't going. The kids, it wasn't like yesterday. It was already the second day. He was tired, my studies. He worked hard that day. The kids, and he started singing, started learning, and it's nishkiganga. All right. He got through, closed the Gemara. The third day he came back, and he opened up a tour or a Chaim Siman Aleph. In other words, he gave up Mashas. Get it? He's not going to work. He decided, I'm going to try to learn Shulchan Aruch, you know, Halachim. That's also a lifetime's project. And he opened up a tour or a Chaim Siman Aleph. And the Nigun came back again. With such cheshik, with such beauty. And I started singing again. It was so beautiful to see. He was learning such a geschmack. The next day, the fourth day, again, he was learning Tor in the beginning. But again, the Nigun was bad. The kid said it wasn't going. And that's the end of the story. I didn't see him again. He gave up. And I was a little boy, 13 years old. I saw what's happening here. He tried to learn Shas. The second day he gave up. He tried to learn Halacha. The second day he gave up. And that's the end of the story. He didn't come back again. Now, my rabbi said, where was this man's mistake? This young fellow, where did he make a mistake? Obviously he's mistaken. He made some kind of mistake here. Should I tell you where his mistake was? Let's analyze exactly what happened here. What happened was as follows. When he made a decision to learn Shas, He was all excited. I'm going to learn Shas. And he made a decision. I started learning Brachas Tav Beis. It was beautiful. The next day he saw it's not going to go. It's not going to go. It's not so easy to come every day with a cheshek. One day you had cheshek, one day without cheshek. It's not going. It's not working. So he saw that he failed. He failed on Shas. He failed. She says to himself, he came home that night. I don't know what he told his wife the day after Sherev Brachas. But he looked in the mirror, he says, I'm a failure. No, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. But this time I'll try, Shas is not going, I'll try learning Halacha. He started learning Torah Chaim, and it was going good for one day, and the next day he didn't go. So he says to himself, look, let's call him Yanko, his name is not Yanko. Look Yanko, twice a failure, no more. I'm not going to face it again. I failed once, I failed again, no more. I'm not going to start again. And he stayed home and closed the Gemara, and that's the end of the story. I know him today. He's an Elohim Yid. He didn't learn Shas. Didn't learn Halacha. He has a nice store. Has nice children. But he didn't learn Shas. Why? He tried once, and he failed. He tried again, and he failed. What's the truth? The truth is, if you would have asked me today, when I was a little boy, I didn't realize it. But now I realize where his mistake was. If he would ask me, I would tell him, look, I said, look, when you came that first day and you decided to learn Shas, realize that Brachas Tav Beis, you're a hero. That was greatness for two reasons. One reason, you learned the Blat Gemara. You should make a party. You learned the Blat Gemara. Second reason, you had a she'ifa to learn Shas. You were excited. What happened the next day? The next day didn't work. So how should you look? Yesterday I was great, and today I'm not great. But yesterday I was great. He didn't look at things like that. He measured the whole life. One day is garnished. One day, learn one Blat Gemara. That's peanuts. That's baby stuff. He looks at life as a whole. And he says, look, I'm 22 years old. I just got married. Right? I have a shiva to learn Shas. I'm going to live 80 years. And he figured it out. I'm going to learn Shas 5 times in my 80 years. And very soon he saw, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. That means my life is a failure. My life is a failure. He got a sting in his heart. She said, you know what, Hashem? I'll try once more. But if it doesn't go once more, I'm not going to fail 3 times. Twice is enough for me. But I'll tell my wife. He tried again. I'm going to learn Halacha. And then he started dreaming again. I'm going to Bezer Hashem live another 80 years. And my grandchildren are going to say that my grandpa knows Halacha. He measured all his life. And I'm going to learn Halacha. And he see that all his grandiose plans went down the drain. He looked in the mirror. He says, failure number 2. Chalas, geendikt. That's the end of the story. This man made a terrible mistake. You're not a failure. You're a hero. A day of greatness is greatness. When you learn that Blat Gemara, don't measure your whole life. Measure this one day. This one day was a day of greatness. And hope and pray it'll come again. And that's the opposite of chesed. The opposite of chesed is din. And this is the biggest problem in our life. That we live everything, everything by us is measured. Everything by us is measured. Tehillim. Tehillim. Well, why don't we say Tehillim? There are people here saying Tehillim. But most of us don't say Tehillim. You know why? Because we failed 20 times. I tried once. I thought I'm going to become a big Rebbetzin. And it's going to, you know, it's going to be, you know, I was excited. And I'm going to say Tehillim. And I'm going to be, and all of a sudden things came up and I saw it's not working. And I'm a failure. And I'm a failure. And the same as the Sadeh Mechitza. I had a Rebbe when I was in the second grade, in the fourth grade, Torah Das, I don't know if people might know, Rebbe Zahn. He was a Rebbe, this goes back 45 years ago, I'm not such an old man, almost 50 years ago. 45 years ago, he used to say Tehillim, he used to walk in the street, but you say Tehillim. And I used to look at him and say, Rebbe Zahn says Tehillim, look at that greatness. I became a little older, So I said, let me do it myself. So I started saying Tehillim, and I want to tell him by heart. Anech Tegetag. So you're a failure. All you did was say five kapitlach Tehillim. Five kapitlach Tehillim is one big failure. One big failure, forget it, no more Tehillim. That's wrong, Rabbi Yisai. That's din. Din means you measure everything grandiose. Chesed means take one moment and say a kapitel Tehillim and put all your life into it. That's what chesed means. Into one moment put all your life, yes, that's greatness. That's what chesed means. But I know tomorrow I won't keep it up. Tomorrow is yours? You're going to have it tomorrow? Tomorrow will come, you talk about tomorrow. Talk about now. When you have a present moment, put everything you can into this present moment. That is true concept of Yiddishkeit, of greatness. Now, if you people understood the message that I'm talking about greatness of greatness, because every moment to put everything you had, this is really too hard for us. But we can utilize this concept once in a while. Now let me explain this. Many times in these seminars, I quoted a Mishnah in Sefer Yetzir. Sefer Yetzir is a Kabbalah Sefer written by Avraham Avinu. The Sefer Yetzir says as follows: Tzipiyosom Kimari Habozok. He's talking about Elokus. If you want to conceive the greatness of Hashem, you want to realize the greatness of Hashem. And he says as follows: Tzipiyosom Kimari Habozok. If you're looking to understand the greatness of Hashem, Tzipiyosom, then get it Kimari Habozok like a lightning. Do you know what that means? It means as follows. Many times, you want to get something deep. The opposite of a lightning, not the opposite, but the parallel of a lightning which we're looking for is the sunlight. When the sun gets up, then it becomes day, and it's light. And it's light for 12 hours. And you could walk, and you can see, and you could build. That's called sunlight. A lightning is a moment of flash. A momentarily flash, a flash of light. We all look for the sunlight. We want to be great. We don't realize, if you're looking for greatness, tzipiyosom, kimari habozok, take a flash of lightning. Because a flash of greatness is also greatness. If you imagine that a tzaddik or a tzaddikis that doesn't talk lashon hara is a great person? Is it a great person? For sure. So when you're on the phone, did it ever happen to you on the phone? And the lady on the other party says, Malka, did you hear what happened? Boy. And you're able to say, oh, my cake is burning, and close the phone. You're able to do that. Why don't you do that? Should I tell you why? Because you say, look, I could stop talking lashon hara at this present moment, but who am I fooling? I'm going to become a tzaddikis. Tomorrow I'm going to talk on the phone again, and I'll do it. And then tomorrow I won't stop talking lashon hara. One time not to talk lashon hara. One time I talk lashon hara. That's nothing. That's nothing. That's called din. But the Mishnah says, Tzipiyosom, if you realize that a sunlight of greatness is greatness, a lightning flash of greatness is greatness. When you come to that bracha, if you get up in the morning and you say that Al Natilas Yadoyim, so if you forget yourself, other times, you forgot yourself. You forgot. Many times, we don't forget. We're by a seminar, tomorrow morning, you take a glass of soda, and there's a guy there called Pincus, I don't know if he's normal or not. Whatever the case is, he says, make a bracha, make a bracha, make a bracha, make a bracha. All right, I can make a bracha. Should I make a whole hibble about one bracha? Who am I fooling? I'm going to become a tzaddik, I'm going to make a bracha every day. All my brachas, 100 times like that. So I should go all crazy about one bracha. I should go all mishig on one bracha. Tzipiyosam, if you have an outlook for greatness, a flash of greatness, a lightning of greatness is greatness. A lightning is greatness. Don't look for the whole pot. Avraham Avinu When he saw these Arabs, he says, I have a mitzvah. Now, if I'm going to dedicate myself to feed the Arabs, I'm not going to be Avraham Avinu. I cannot dedicate my life to feeding Arabs. But right now, I'm going to feed 3 Arabs. Kadima, everything I possess into this one mitzvah. A flash of greatness. That's called chesed. And from these moments, we can grow. The reason why we don't grow in our life is because we don't know how to utilize moments, flashes of greatness. Because and this is the answer, if anybody wants to know how to get used to doing great things, davening with kavana, take off one shachris, one little bracha, one moment, and put everything you have into it. You can't do it every day, do it once in a while. But get a taste of it. A taste of greatness, and slowly you'll see how great you can be. And again, I'm telling you, this is the real concept of Hasidus. A Hasidus Shayid, that's how they teach them to daven. You know how they teach them to daven? It's very interesting. By Hasidim and by Bali Musar, there's something very interesting about them. They have an inyan, the Psuka de Zimmer, for instance, they go all Meshigah. Did you ever go into a Hasidus Shishtibel? I'm not talking about, you know, in Bar Pakina that you're in a heart. I'm talking about when they daven good. When it comes to Shema Yisrael, goes like a thing, goes like a lightning. So they used to ask the Chassidus Shein, why Shema Yisrael is more important? So you know what they used to say? They didn't say the truth. The real truth is because Shema Yisrael needs a very different kind of concentration. But you know what they used to say? They used to say, what should I do? I started saying Baruch Sh'amar, I just went crazy. I used up all my koiches. By the time I reach my Yisrael, I'm laying on the floor. What can I do? That's greatness. That's greatness. Don't leave over for tomorrow. Don't leave over. Don't say Baruch Shama to Meshigah. You know why? Because by the time it comes, my Yisrael, there'll be nothing left over. That's automatic failure. You have a mitzvah? Put everything you got, all your guns, put into this mitzvah. And the end will be, you'll be a great person. You can't do it every day? Don't do it every day. You can do it once in a while. You can do it once in a lifetime. Do what you can. When you walk out of the bathroom, you can't always say, Hashem Yotzer, that all the neighbors should hear. It's for some reason, it's not polite. But once in a while, you could put in koiches. Once in a while, you could say, Hashem. And by the way, this is completely off. Lately, I have a new pshat in Hashem Yotzer. And I daven for my children, I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Yotzer es Ha'odom B'Chochmah, my own self. Uvarav Nekovim Nekovim, I translate it in Ruchnis. I say, go live your Dua, you made a person with so many mitzvahs. Go live your Dua, Lefnei Chisnei Chavodecho, Shin Paseach Achod Mehem, one Avera. One Avera. Or you say, Achod Mehem, Iyev Shal Yiskayim Lamed Lefanecho. One little stima, one little block in the stomach, so the man is ice. Hashem, one avera. I'm a nice man, you know, but when I get angry, don't be in my presence. All you need is one avera. Hashem, please save me for that one avera. Now, you can't say every day, Hashem, yes, sir. Maybe you can, but let's say you think that you can't. Once in a while, put greatness into it. Put greatness into it. To a shahakol niyabedvarit, to a shachris, to a mincha, a regular mincha. To a atachoinen, to a slachlano, to a refa'enu. Many times, some of us are embarrassed to daven refa'enu. You know why? Because Baruch Hashem, refa'enu, reka, someone say quick, oh Hashem, refa'enu. That's not the way to daven to Hashem. So you go weiter. No, stop. You caught yourself. Put everything you into one refa'enu. What happened, happened. It doesn't matter. What's going to happen doesn't matter. Put everything you have in one bracha. And by the way, my dear people, that's what Shabbos is for. Shabbos, Hashem says, look, you can't be Shabbos to go week. Start with Shabbos. And I'm coming to the end of my drasha. We gathered together these wonderful days. Two wonderful days. We heard beautiful concepts, beautiful ideas. I would like to refer to the last thing Rebbe Zriel told us. Rebbe Zriel said, four suggestions. One suggestion was, pay full tuition. Other suggestion is, make a chavrusa, husband and wife. Third suggestion was, I'm going out of the coin, cut yourself off from the media 40 days. And fourth suggestion was, be interested in Am Yisrael, help other people. Maybe advertise a seminar. If you got something, advertise it. When we come home, and I know myself, I attended seminars. I know myself, we come home, everything is a disaster. You know why? First thing, pay schar limud. Pay schar limud. I can't afford full schar limud. I can't afford full schar limud. You can't afford for one child you could afford. One child I could afford, yeah. One child I could afford. Let's say I agree with what Rabbi Zil says. I can't afford, I have Baruch Hashem 10 children. I can't afford full schar limud. I just don't have that much money. For one child I could afford, yeah, one child is nothing. One child is nothing. Ooh. If 10 children is greatness, one child is a flash of greatness. Make a chavrusa, husband and wife. I, Baruch Hashem, came home from seminars many times. I don't try it again. I told my wife, you know, I was in the seminar, I brought home a nice lego for the children. Rabbi Taubes, my wife says, what did you say? I spoke about davening, about Shabbos. You know what Rabbi Taubes said? I told my wife. My wife was attending seminars. We should make a chavrusa. Oh, that's nice. All right, let's make a chavrusa. We sat down to learn, and I'm not trying to insult my wife. My wife is tadigas, but she works hard. She fell asleep. That's the end. That's the end. I'm not going to fail again. That's a mistake. It's a mistake. It was a greatness. Until she fell asleep, 2 minutes went by. It was a wonderful, it was greatness. You're a hero. You're a hero. Do it again. No, she fell asleep. It's a disaster. No, my dear, it wasn't a disaster. It was a greatness. Now, if she would keep up and after 10 minutes she says, oh, Shimshin, this was wonderful. Ah, I deserve a medal. I'm going to do it again. But she fell asleep. Disaster. No more. That's a mistake, my dear people. See, Piyosin Kamari Habozok, a flash of greatness is greatness. And the same thing, the third thing. Cut yourself off 40 days from the media. Ooh, that means to be a real tzaddik. The real stuff. You know, the real stuff. Sorry, Rabbi Tauber. You got the wrong party. 40 days? What's 40 days? I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You mean from 40 days I should continue after because then I'll enjoy it. I know what you're talking about. Sorry. I'm not interested. You know, you talk after the wrong party. I enjoyed your seminar. I enjoyed your drushes. I enjoyed Pincus' jokes. Everything was nice. But, you know, you've gone too far. Just cut yourself off from the media. Oh, no. He meant mamish what he meant. And I'm repeating what he said. 40 days, a flash of greatness. Just see for a moment how great you can be. See for a moment that you can be an emes el chayid, that all the schmutz of the world is not part of your life. Don't figure out your whole life. Don't figure out your whole future. And I want to tell you, my dear friends, next time you go to the dentist and you pick up that schmutz magazine, so you say to myself, from now on, so well, the man, when they go to the dentist, they're longer safer. And the women, what are we supposed to do? You don't have a safer. Sit like a moron. So what do? You pick up a shtick schmutz. So you say to yourself, what should I do? I shouldn't pick up a shtick schmutz. I should be a real tzaddikus. My dear friends, you should know one time to leave that magazine alone. One time to leave that magazine alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gathers all palmayli shamayu. And says, Rude, look at my precious creature that I have in this world that knows how to keep away from that schmutz. So the Malachim says, what, she's real tzaddikus, all her life she never opened a magazine? I don't care about all of once a flash of greatness is greatness. We'll see tomorrow. Tomorrow didn't come, yesterday passed by. See, piyosun kamari habozok. Every moment is by itself. And in this moment, put everything you possess. And this is the way to learn how to daven, to learn how to make a bracha. Don't figure out the whole life. Take moments and put everything you have into these moments. If you'll take Rabbi Zil's advice, 40 days, and if you can't do it 40 days, do it 10. If you can't do it 10 days, do it one day. I suggest you should do it 40 days because it's a good idea, 40 days, but whatever it is, even one day. to keep away from that schmutz. It's a day of closeness to Hashem. It's a kiss. A moment of a kiss to Hashem. Hashem will never forget that moment. We'll never forget that moment. A good bracha, once in a lifetime. A good blat gemara. A good blat gemara. You come back tomorrow, it's not going. If this young man that I told you the story, the next day, when he saw it's not going, if he would have ran home, and he would have bought a bottle of Branfen, and he would have bought some cake, and he saw me in the shul, I was all by myself, he says, let's make a party. What happened? Yesterday I learned the Blat Gemara. If he would have made a party, yesterday's Blat Gemara, then today would be an Adam Godi. He would be a great person today. He looked at yesterday's Blat Gemara with a bittle. It was nothing, it was but. He failed, he's no good. He measured all of life. The same as every mitzvah that we do.